I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hello and welcome to this, another episode of We're Not Fucking Historians with Shane Todd. And now we're doing this remotely, so what's your name over there?
Over there! My name is Hazel Hayes over here.
Hazel
Hayes. Same way as it would be if we were in the studio, which we are not today. Shane's in the north of Ireland and I'm in London.
I am remotely recording remotely. I couldn't be more remote.
You couldn't be more remote. You live in the back end of nowhere.
No, so. And like no one in Ireland's going to understand how we're doing this.
We're doing it on the Wi-Fi. The Wi-Fi's.
We're doing it via magic. And this actually isn't an episode today. I'm not going to get straight into it, but this isn't an episode today that involves magic. You know, we've kind of, I think some diehard fans like it when we go down the like myths route, you know, mythical yeah. figures and that kind of thing. I'm dealing today in hard, cold facts. What
Love
do
it.
You think of that? Do you like a little bit of mystery around an episode, or Hazel, do you just like black and white?
I like a bit of both. I've enjoyed sometimes stuff like Mary Mallon, Typhoid Mary, which is just a straight up factual sort of account of what happened.
Yeah.
And then you had other stuff more like Queen Maeve, where we're like, was she real? No one's really sure.
I'm glad you called her Typhoid Mary, because when you said Mary Mallon, I was nodding like I knew who that was, which shows you just how much I took out of that episode. But look, I want to get into it because this is a big one today. We're going back, Hazel, and I mean we're going way back. I'm talking about prehistoric Ireland. The first settlers in Ireland. Hazel, when do you think they were? Do you want to put like a time on that?
I knew you were going to ask me this and I don't know. Prehistoric Ireland.
Yeah.
Oh, Christ. 6,000 BC.
That is an unbelievable guess. An unbelievable guess that only a historic expert would have in the locker to just dish out.
What is it?
There are some different accounts, but let's just say the source I have, and people are like, oh, Shane, are you going to like ancient historical libraries around Belfast? No, I'm not. I'm talking about, you know, certain websites. This one reckons 9,000 years ago, which is 7,000 BC.
I was really ready to be completely embarrassed just then.
I'm not good at like judging that kind of thing, because I remember going on a date with a girl. It was our first date many years ago. And where I live in Hollywood, you can see across to Carrickfergus, which might come up in a future episode, Carrickfergus Castle.
Yeah.
And bear in mind, the distance from Hollywood to Carrickfergus across the water is 5 miles. I said, oh, how far? And by the way, this is just my chat on the date. I said, how far do you think it is from here over to there? Because I knew, because someone had told me. Bear in mind, 5 miles. And she said, 500 miles? There was not a second date. There was not a second date.
You ruled her out as a potential future mate
yeah.
because she was bad at distances.
Yep.
I'm remembering the Titanic episode when you asked me about how long it was and how heavy it was, and I was just so wildly inaccurate.
You thought the Titanic was 12 stone.
It was about 60 kilos,
but
give
look,
or take.
We're talking about the first people that arrived in Ireland. Going by this account, we're talking 7,000 BC. We call these people Stone Age people, because
Love
they
it.
Use stone tools for their farm work and hunting, not because they're like the wacky backy, if you know what I mean. But these guys, I mean, they probably did back then. They're probably smoking all sorts. What else are you gonna? There's nothing to do.
The pagans loved a bit of weed.
There's no bikes or you know, iPods.
There were no
iPods.
Bikes.
No, there's nothing.
There were
like
no
that.
Bikes or iPods. So what were they to do?
The reason that the reason that smart people can sort of trace when these people arrived is because of their tools and weapons that have been found by archaeologists. Now, here's the thing. See if there's any archaeologists listening, which I doubt. Could you be arsed with all that digging?
Oh, no.
Like, no. What's the hit rate on being an archaeologist? Like, how many times do you dig versus find something?
Yeah, it's quite low.
A lot of times you're just digging a hole and you're probably just, a lot of time you're probably thinking, God, I'd be better in this.
I'd be up for like the, you know, like the big proper diggers really kind of going at it, but it's all that brushing.
Yeah.
Just a tiny little brush on a massive skeleton, that kind of, that bit in Jurassic Park used to make me think like, oh my God, it's so boring.
And they're like, oh, is this the bones of Richard the Eighth? And then they go, oh no, it's a shopping trolley.
We've carbon dated it and actually it's a shopping trolley. Circa 1992 Tesco.
But look, this archaeological evidence, it grows all, especially like in the last decades, they keep finding more and more stuff. Here's the thing. There's a mainstream view on this and then there's the real like indie view.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, according to some people, there is evidence of human presence in Ireland as early as 31,000 BC. Now, what would you be doing in 31,000 BC?
Certainly not riding bikes and using iPods.
No.
That's for sure.
Maybe the first generation iPods, but like, you know, the one that came with the U2 album on it and everyone's like, okay, cheers, Bono, but can you fucking delete this?
That's really written him off. He got cancelled right after that. Like, he was already sort of on an knife edge. That was what did it.
Yeah, it's like, no. I mean, I like U2, but I just don't like this album. How can you delete it? And then Apple were like, you can't. So we're going to go up to the Neolithic age here. That's how far I'm taking it. I'm not taking you anywhere past the Neolithic age.
Okay, fine. Up to the Neolithic and no further. About 5 miles.
We're going
to
be talking about the Paleolithic, the Mesolithic, the Neolithic ages. Now, I don't want to have to say any of those again.
You don't have to.
No, but Ireland, when all this first kicked off, a lot of this stuff was found in bogland. All these archaeological finds that we're going to be talking about, a lot of them discovered in bogland. When we go back to the Paleolithic age, or it's also known as the glaciation, I think. I don't know. But we're basically talking about if you took a look at Ireland, a lot of it would be covered by really thick ice sheets. The reason that we don't have a clear idea of further back is because these ice sheets really like pulverized rock and bone that was in the ground. So that eradicated loads of evidence of early settlements. Because they think that there might have been human presence during the Glenavian Warm Period, which sounds like a band.
The Glenavian Warm Period?
Yeah.
I think it sounds a little bit like during an illness, like one of the phases. Oh, he's in the Glenavian Warm Period now. He'll be out of it any day.
It sounds like the middle of a hangover.
It does.
Oh, lads.
You got the night itself.
Yeah,
the fear, the Glenavian Warm Period.
Lads,
yeah,
I'll meet you all for a fry whenever I'm out of the Glenavian Warm Period. But look, during the last glacial maximum, which is a period we're talking about 20,000 years ago, Ireland was basically an Arctic wasteland. Two-thirds of Ireland covered in ice.
Only two-thirds? Because she's quite small. That's gas. One-third, just not.
One-third, do whatever
Wexford,
you want.
Grand.
Wexford,
grand.
Wexford was completely
growing.
Fine. The ice was not interested in visiting Wexford. But about 15,000 years ago, there was a warm period that was referred to as, let me get this right, the Bowling Alarod. That basically warmed things up a little bit.
Right.
And that was good for hunter-gatherers. So I'm going to drop a fact here. I feel like maybe I lost people for a few minutes here. I got lost in a few facts. But listen, let me bring this back. There was a bit of chat that Britain and Ireland was joined by a land bridge.
Shut the front door.
Around 14,000 BC, basically there was like rising sea levels. So they think that these rising sea levels allowed for like a bridge, like a frozen bridge, which is very cool, going across Britain and Ireland. And that would just be handy, wouldn't it? You know, it's just
slide over.
You skate over. You skate over to Britain. Do you want to go to Blackpool? Go to Blackpool.
Get a wee lid off a dusty bin.
Yeah.
Just push yourself over.
Yeah. If that was true, then I think when things warmed up, maybe it melted or something.
Anyone who was on the bridge at the time.
Yeah.
Not a good time.
Now, we're gonna go back to our friend St. Patrick, our old Paddy, good friend of ours, big friend of the podcast. Snakes and other reptiles couldn't thrive in Ireland because that land bridge disappeared. So, you know, a lot of historians are saying, well, there was never snakes in Ireland. They couldn't come over here. But we know that that's bullshit because we know that there was snakes and our boy St. Patrick got rid of them.
Do we know that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I think we worked out that definitely did happen. But the earliest humans, like modern humans, as in like, you know, quiffs,
sexy,
bangs, cool looking people, date back to this Paleolithic age. But then here's the thing. We had a date where we were like, okay, this is definitely when they were here. And then these nerds showed up and went, actually, let's push that back by 2,500 years.
That's a big gap. That's a big old shift.
Yeah, and how rude do the people who, you know, dated it before, all of a sudden these new guys show up. I think you'll find you're wrong because they did a bit of radiocarbon dating.
No.
No, fuck off.
Not for us. Not on this podcast.
They did that on a bear bone that was excavated in 1903 in County Clare. That's very cool.
Sorry, one second ago you called them a bunch of nerds and now you're like quite on board with how cool that was. You're so fickle.
But they're just brushing it. You know what I mean? They don't really do anything cool with it.
So what's cool is that there was a bear.
There was a bear. And there was a bear in Clare, which is the start of
a bear in Clare.
There was a bear in Clare, which is definitely the start of a limerick.
There once was a bear in Clare. Finish that limerick and email us.
Could I just have that bear bone if anyone knows who has it?
Where is it? Yeah, where? What are they doing?
They excavated it in Clare, so I don't know. Get in touch with the pod if I can have that.
If you are in possession of the Ice Age bear bone.
Yeah, give me the bear bone.
What will we give them in return?
Well, by the way, the email address is hello@nothistorians.com and we'll send them a copy of your book.
My book, which you can get readily sort of anywhere in exchange for a Ice Agean bear bone. That's not a fair exchange, but I'm fine with that.
But let me tell you about that bone. That bone had cut marks on it that showed it was butchered when it was fresh. And it gave a date of around 10,500 BC, showing humans were in Ireland at that time.
Butchered by humans.
500 BC.
Title of my forthcoming metal album.
Oh, yeah, because me and you are such metal heads.
You don't know me.
They found some flint in 1968 in Drogheda that they think dates back to 70,000 BC. And they found
where
some.
Where were these people coming from? Where?
I'm going to get into. I'm going to tell you that at the very end. I've got my biggest fact to save for the end. Okay. They're finding all sorts, and I want these bones. But that's a side issue. So these modern humans may actually have colonized Ireland after crossing this land bridge, and a lot they think a lot of them came from Cornwall, like they definitely came from Britain, but Cornwall's where a lot of them think, or some people might have come by boat. That was the north, but in the south, they think a lot of people came from South Wales. There was a return of freezing conditions, what's known as the Younger Dryas. I don't know what that means. I'm not going to pretend to know what that means. I don't know if it's a person. I don't know if it's a time. I don't know when it was. But they think it lasted from 10,900 BC to 9,700 BC. And that had a big effect on the population of Ireland. So there was settlers here. There was definitely people here. But during this thing called the Younger Dryas, sea levels continued to rise. And the ice bridge left and never came back. I think people thought it was going to keep coming back, but it didn't. So the population of Ireland kind of fell. But they think after the first settlers had been in Ireland for a while, I think they said there was like 8,000 people here, which is fairly spread out. It's going to be difficult to like
a lot considering how long ago that was.
Yeah, I might have that wrong, but imagine you start a business.
Population isn't much more than that now. It's like 10,000.
What if you start a business and you want to get word of mouth going? Difficult. You know, there's not that many people.
Difficult.
A lot of space. Difficult. Let's cross the land bridge into the land of adverts and I'll meet you on the other side.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Join me, Pete Donaldson, and YouTuber Chris Broad as we offer you a taste of life in the most exciting country in the world on our podcast, Abroad in Japan. Whether it's crazy bars, unique vending machines, or tips for learning Japanese, we cover it all. Recently, we even heard a particularly unique chat-up line.
While we were chatting, a local Japanese guy in his early 30s made his way over to me and started chatting in broken English. Ooh. Our chat about general stuff was going all right before he proudly announced, "I like big girls." To me,
wow.
To me, with a wink. Truly flattering, flirting right there.
Search Abroad in Japan wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every Wednesday and Sunday.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Welcome back. We're talking about prehistoric Ireland. We're talking about the first settlers. And Hazel, I think we can agree, it's nice to just get settled, isn't it?
It is nice to just get settled. I imagine they had a long trip and they wanted to just put their feet up and have a cuppa.
You know what's better than being settled? Thinking about getting settled.
Oh, yeah. Couldn't agree more. Yeah. Could not agree more. My nanny used to say,
life's like a box of chocolates.
She didn't say that.
Life's like
she
a bag said, of spuds.
What did she say? I want to get this right. My nanny used to say...
It obviously didn't strike a chord with you.
I'm sure it's correct. Something along the lines of, there's nothing better than sitting down unless you're lying down.
That sounds a little bit dirty.
No, it's just like the comfiest, most relaxed possible. I hate standing. I love a good sit.
Yeah, sitting's great. Anyway, we're talking about the Mesolithic time, which is 8,000 to 4,000 BC. We're in Ireland. We're looking back at the early people that came here. The people that, if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't have us.
And what a shame that would be.
Well, exactly. That's what the historians say. The last ice age in Ireland fully came to an end in about 8,000 BC. And the earliest evidence of human occupation after that ice went away, it is when we're talking about the Mesolithic period, which is easy for me to say, 7,000 BC. Sea levels were lower than they are today, but Ireland was probably already an island by the time the first settlers arrived by boat. And yeah, they most likely came from Britain. But let's eradicate that from the history books.
Sure.
Delete every trace of that.
Let's do it.
So the earliest inhabitants of the island that came here, if we're talking about Ireland the way it is now, were were sea type people. Seafarers,
sea type people.
Yeah, seafarers and probably have beard, wooden legs, you know, the sort of hook hands, all those sort of guys.
Pirates.
Yeah. No, not pirates, but just like guys that had wee boats and all, and they did everything by the sea. Later though, they started to have inland settlements or camps, but they were still keeping it kind of close to the water because I guess it gave them food. Strategically, it was a good place to be. Although some archaeologists say that these Mesolithic guys relied on the coast, but the more that they moved inland, they just lost contact with Britain and further afield because they weren't on the coast so much. But, you know, you like to think they might have had the odd email exchange. Just the odd how you keeping.
The odd pigeon.
Yeah, but they got used to being inland. So yeah, there's loads of Mesolithic hunter-gatherer sites that have been found in Ireland. Loads of excavations in Corrine, which is near me, in Limerick, the River Shannon, County Offaly. And there's loads of settlement sites, especially in Donegal. And in County Cork. And yes, I was right. The population around that time is estimated to be around 8,000. And that's brilliant for me.
Yeah, it's shocking that you got something right, honestly. That's nothing. God, that's hardly any people at all across the island.
I know. It would have been handier, though, for traffic and stuff, wouldn't it?
Oh, lovely.
Plus,
just fly up the M1. Yeah. No one in your way. Oh.
Plus, if you have anything about you looks-wise, you'd be in like the top tier of good-looking people in Ireland.
This is it. This is it. But if you're not a looker, you're in the bottom tier quite easily.
Yeah, you could legitimately, even if you're like a 4 out of 10, you could literally be the ugliest person in Ireland. That's so harsh. No queues at the bar, but that's not always a good thing. You know, a queue at the bar shows you that, you know, there's a lot of people there.
They're busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you pop your head in a restaurant, see how many people are there just to know if it's good or not.
The hunter-gatherers in Ireland during this time, during the Mesolithic time, lived on a diet of seafood, birds, wild boar, and hazelnuts, which is what you call your fans, isn't it?
Hey-o!
The wild boars? No, the hazelnuts.
Birds.
You know what I call my fans?
Yeah, it's not... What?
The Todd balls. I've never called them that. I don't think I have any
fans. The Todd balls?
Yeah, I don't think I have any fans. It's fine.
I think they should self-name the fan club the Todd balls.
But I think hazelnuts could be a thing.
It actually was, briefly.
Oh, God.
I didn't... Say, very early in my YouTube days. Yeah, there was talk of hazelnuts. It was funny for like a week. I think someone sent me in like a little drawing of little hazelnut, and yeah.
That person's gonna murder you. So these guys were running about back then hunting with spears, arrows, harpoons. They were doing all sorts. They were stretching. And we know this about them because of these excavation sites. So actually, fair play to these archaeologists.
Fair play.
They lived in shelters. They were stretching animal skins over roofs. Thatch. They were thatching things. They had outdoor hearths for cooking their food. And although the population was never probably over 8,000, we still like know loads about them. So there's loads of artifacts from this time in Ireland. There's small microlith blades. There's stone tools. And in particular, there's a thing called the versatile ban flake. It sounds like bran flakes. And Hazel, what I want to know is, what is the best cereal?
Oh, Cocoa Pops.
Fair.
Straight in. And I will also say, and this probably isn't great of me, but I am quite partial to a bowl of Lucky Charms.
Can I tell you something? I bought a knockoff version because for some reason they're not allowed to sell Lucky Charms
here
anymore.
You can go into these funny, weird little tourist shops in Piccadilly Circus and buy like a bloody bag of Cheetos for £10, which is a disgrace. But they've Lucky Charms as well. They cost a fortune. So what I hope you're about to say is that you had some knockoff ones and they were delicious because I want to get them.
They taste exactly the same.
Do they?
Yeah, but I do miss the wee man, the wee leprechaun on it.
I do miss the wee man, but I'll tell you what, I don't need to pay a tenner for a box of cereal.
No, the hazelnuts will start sending you them.
Maybe they will. If you're a hazelnut out there, it's P.O. Box.
No, it's fine. We'll post your address in the description for the episode.
Yeah, no, we will.
Hazel, can I be honest? I've got some more facts and we could sit and we could talk about what happened in certain dates. Can I be honest?
You don't give a shit, do you?
I have been interested in what I've been talking about. But because I think people didn't know about that land bridge, that's very interesting. And then
the
all
land
of a sudden
bridge,
went away.
I would say, was the peak of this episode. Land no. bridge was like top quality.
No, because I'm going to peak right now. I told you at the start, I was sitting on a fact. Here is that yeah. fact. We thought we knew all there was about Irish history. We thought we knew about the first settlers. We thought we had it worked out. And all of yeah. a sudden, these guys turned around and said, not so fast. So some scientists started developing a genetic database of ancient Irish genomes. And I don't know what they yeah. are.
Genomes, like DNA.
Right. Okay. Okay, well,
that's not quite right, but yeah. ballpark.
So they started looking at different genomes from all periods of prehistory to understand how the modern Irish gene pool came about. Now, okay. We weren't expecting much. We're expecting them to confirm what we already knew. It turns out that the original hunter-gatherers on Ireland didn't look like you and me. Not only did these guys have dark skin, but they also had bright blue eyes. Now that's a combination you don't see too often, and that is something that no one really knew. And this was there was a documentary about it on RTE, and basically the first settlers in Ireland were not white.
So they would have been dark skinned but blue eyes.
Yeah,
but this far north, because I thought like Scandinavian people going that far back had paler skin just because there's less sunshine, or is that like a stupid myth?
They think these people came from modern Turkey, and they went on a voyage. We didn't know. We thought the first people who came to Ireland looked like us, spuds with eyes and no noses and mouths.
So when you're talking about the prehistoric Irish people, what I'm seeing in my head without even realizing it was just a lot of big pink spud heads, bright red hair, freckles, obviously, probably green eyes, and but also those big sort of Eskimo coats. So they had a lot of fur around there, and they're wearing all these animal hides, but quite dumpy and just sort of going around spearing cows and shit is what I'm seeing.
Turns out we were just 100% straight up sexy black guys with blue eyes.
I love that for us.
Yeah.
How did we change? What happened? You're not going to be able to answer any of these questions.
The only thing I can do is say, I've been to Turkey twice, and a big shout out to Summer Gardens in Batez. Great spot. Great spot. Love the entertainment that was on every night, bar what they called Family Night, which is where two of the waiters just did a show and they had no plan for it. And they just like sang a couple of tunes and like that was it. A
lot like this then.
Yeah. We want to give a big hikurmak to all of our Turkish mates.
Thanks for inhabiting our little island and making it possible for this podcast to exist, I guess.
And here's just to close, we like to make movies of what we've talked about. So if we were making a movie about the first settlers in Ireland, knowing what we know now, who would we like to get in there?
Donald Glover.
I promise, I was thinking... I promise on breakfast, and you know I wouldn't joke about that. I was thinking about Donald Glover, so he's in.
Yeah, but he's hot property at the moment, though, isn't he? I'd cast Donald Glover, Lashana Lynch, bright blue contacts a la the White Walkers.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, go hard on the blue eyes. Like, we're talking Daniel Craig blue eyes, but it's Donald Glover and Lashana Lynch. I think they're the lead couple for me.
Oh, do you know what we could do? We could legitimately get some black Irish actors in this. That's great.
Actually, why didn't I think of that? Yeah, of course.
Samantha Mumba.
What is your deal with Samantha Mumba? Is she even working anymore?
Well, my deal with Samantha Mumba is I take 20% of all of her. So it's a pretty straightforward deal.
Good for you.
Donald Glover and Samantha Mumba are going to play the first Irish. And if 10 minutes ago, you probably would have said, you know, you would have said Daniel Day-Lewis, you would have said Liam Neeson, Saoirse Ronan. But no, sorry, there's no rules. No rules.
No, and there's some people who'll have a problem with that. And I'll tell you what, I have a problem with you.
Yeah.
Before we move off this topic, bit of a random segue, but there's a really good Instagram account I follow, actually. It's called Black and Irish.
Okay.
And it's stories and accounts from the black community in Ireland of growing up there and living there and their experiences. And it's a really cool little account. So if you happen to be listening, give it a little follow, a little look.
You know, it's a great account too, is Black and Decker. Just if you're doing any DIY.
Not or... Spawn.
No.
Do you think we could get Spawn from Black & Decker?
I think I know a guy that works there and I think he can get you anything you need. So just give me a shout and I'll sort
off
that
the back
out.
Of a truck, though.
Yeah, we have had some emails. Here's you one from Aoife. Do you want to read that out?
I just listened to your Titanic episode, says Aoife, and I loved it.
Yes.
Shame about that Shane Todd fella.
No, that's
what
not
a complete tosspot.
It's not an email.
What are you doing making a podcast with him? Nah. Says Aoife. No, she didn't. She said, just listened to the Titanic episode. I loved it. Thank you for always filling those boring days when I'm working. I work in a lab, so it can get quite lonely. So nothing like me sat there laughing to myself to really become a crazy scientist. I now live in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Wow. She didn't say wow. I added that. Where the victims of the Titanic were brought and are now buried. They were brought to this now restaurant called the Five Fishermen. I presume it wasn't a restaurant then, or why would they bring dead bodies? And apparently it's haunted by the ghosts of the victims and was on a TV show of the most haunted places in Canada. Loving the podcast. Can't wait for each Tuesday for a good laugh. Have a good one.
Aoife, I love that. That's great. But also do concentrate on your work as a scientist. Don't be laughing when you're doing like microscope work.
She's probably trying to cure cancer and we're just distracting her.
Yeah.
Don't be listening to us, Aoife. Go do something important with your life.
We also got an email from a guy who sounds like a crazy Hollywood agent in the 70s. Larry Large. Larry Large. The subject line is the correct joke for the Flight of the Earls. Larry thinks that the porno we were going to make for Flight of the Earls would be called The Pulling Out of the Earls.
It wasn't even that it was crude. It's not funny. It doesn't. Sorry, Larry.
Well, you know what it is? It's a little bit like our interpretation of the first settlers in the history of Ireland. Someone eventually will come along and change things and be like, I can make this that funny, but it's going to be a long time from now.
It's going to be a long time coming.
If you want to get in touch with this podcast, you can email hello@nothistorians.com. If you want to give us feedback, if you want to berate us, if you want to praise us, if you want to send me bones and Hazel cereal, that's how you do it.
Through the email.
Yep, through the email. You can probably
good
do it over
know.
In London. You could do that, no problem. All you tech kids.
All you high-tech modern humans with your bikes and your iPods. Also, we're on the socials at The Hazel Haze. You got Shane Todd on there. Give us a follow. Let us know what you're thinking of the podcast. Let us know what you'd like to hear about.
Send me
that
bones.
Actually would be really helpful. If there's any particular events or characters from Irish history that you would like to hear about, drop us a wee email or get in touch with us on the socials. Use the hashtag WNFH.
Yep, send me bones.
Recommend, send Shane bones.
Recommend
you
a podcast
know,
to a friend.
You know, Shane, and I'm just going to say this, you're asking for people to send you bones, and you're making your own bed here. This is your own funeral, because you're going to receive some interesting things in response to that, and I'm not having anything to do with it.
I'm making a bed out of prehistoric bones. That's my dream. Anyway, until next time, just remember,
we're not fucking historians.
We're Not Fucking Historians is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.